The Shire of Nanap would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung people of the Noongar Nation as the traditional custodians of the land of which this podcast is recorded on, and we extend our respect to the Elders past and present, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal Australians living within the Shire of Nanap.
So when you walk in the door of the middle shop, you can see where they had a big long counter, and then behind the counter there was the wall completely of shelves. So some of those shelves are left in the packing room, and all the items were on the shelves because people came in and it wasn't self-service.
This is the Nanap Oral History Podcast. We're here in Nanap on Warren Road in a historical building talking to Leanne White. She talks to us about her work as an artist, her community involvement, her time as a business owner, and all the incredible things that make Nanap so special and so unique and so wonderful to capture through art, and all about her life here. As you walk into this historical building, the Jarrah floorboards paint a picture of the times past, and Leanne explains so beautifully the journey that this building's been on.
I'm Leanne and I am an artist. I've got a gallery in Nanap on the main street. We've been here for 9 years. Love the town, love the community, love the environment that we live in. It's perfect for me. I am a nature artist, so I do a lot of wildlife work. I also paint landscapes, and I just love the forest. I love the mists. I love all the rain that we get in Nanap. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And when you say you moved here 9 years ago, what was it that drew you to Nanap?
Okay, so we also have a publishing business. I work as a children's book illustrator and work within that, but our publishing house is a regular traditional publishing house. People send in manuscripts. I work as editor with that, and we choose their manuscripts that we are going to publish, and then we've got a whole team of illustrators. So we put in illustrator with the manuscript and get it printed, and then we send them out all over Australia. So we were in Albany. It was a little prohibitive living there because of the distance in terms of freight. Books are heavy, and we just needed to be closer to the metropolitan area. And then we found that Bunbury had the same costs as Perth. So then we found that Nanap was in the catchment area for Bunbury. And we just drove into town, 9 o'clock on a winter's morning, and it was foggy. And I just said to my husband, Mark, oh yes, I love this. And then we found this building, which was a huge, big historic building that was very derelict and had to be renovated. So we've spent 9 years renovating it, but it's a huge building. We actually have worked through 22 rooms.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what's the history of this building, Leanne? I know a little bit about your renovation journey, but I'm really interested for you to share some of that with us today.
Okay, well, I might not get it exactly right, and there's probably people in town who are part of the Historical Society who would have better information, really. There was a little building here in 1913, and it was part of a tailor's shop, I think. Then in 1920, they built the rest of the building. I think it's had an extension after that, but it was built as a general store. So in the middle shop, you can actually see how that worked because of the floorboards. So the floorboards in the building are not tongue and grooved. They're, very wide old floorboards. And when they laid them, they used to jack them all out to the edges and then that very final board, they just ram that into the final space that was left. So then, you know, obviously they were all polished where they needed to be as part of the shop for people to come into. So you can actually see in the shop where they were originally polished and then where the boards were rough, and they left them rough. And so when we took the building on, there was one little spot in that middle shop where it was all polished. Everything else was roughed. In the house, there was this one little spot where the lounge room was tiny, really thin little boards, and they were beautifully polished. So that was the old tailor's shop. That was the floor that they left behind. And then they built the general store over the top. So when you walk in the door of the middle shop, you can see where they had a big long counter, and then behind the counter there was the wall completely of shelves. So some of those shelves are left in the packing room, and all the items were on the shelves because people came in and it wasn't self-service. And then this other room, which is the gallery, that had a connecting door from behind the counter into the this part of the building, and it was for stock feeds and oils. So people actually, there were no walls, there was no cladding to start with, and they gradually put that in. People drove around to the back of the building and they just parked up and they'd load from there. And then down in the backyard was a shed. It was a full wooden shed. Unfortunately, we had to demolish that. It was really dangerous and it was collapsing. And that was the furniture maker's shed. And so the laneway that went along, that goes along the back of there, there were these two great big open doors. And so they would load the furniture in from there. Interestingly, at another time, and somebody else will be able to say the exact dates, the two guys that started Arbitech, which is a huge company now, they started that in Nanup, and they came up with inventing their machinery in that little shed in this backyard. Yeah, so unfortunately we had to demolish that, but we did retrieve all the wood that we could, because that's what we've rebuilt in this building when we needed timber.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a general store, and so it was called Killerbees and Ford. And after a certain amount of time, they actually rebuilt. They built another property, which is now the Easy Way Food Store, and they moved to that one out of this building. So Helen Ford, she was born at the Nanup Hospital and came here. So that was in the late 1930s, 1940. No, I think it was 1939. So she's in Perth now, but she comes down occasionally, and she has taken us through the whole building and told us the layout of it. Like, the little house was quite different. It was basically a one-bedroom house with the lounge room, which was the tailor shop, and then the rest was a veranda, and so the wet area was out on the veranda, and there was a sleep out on the veranda. I can't imagine sleeping out in Nanup when we have 1 degree mornings, but it was there apparently. So yes.
The same as our house. They always say their kids slept on the veranda. I'm like, how?
Well, my dad says that. My dad says they always slept on the veranda.
Have you seen any images at the Historical Society?
Yes. So we've got a few photos, which are classic. You know, they've got old vehicles parked out the front. And, you know, it doesn't look any different. The veranda posts are right on the main street, right on the curb of the street, which is what it is now. And Yeah, it doesn't look very different at all. The interesting thing is the building was in such poor condition that we had to restump everything. Like, the outside walls were 7.5 inches down, so we used 20-ton air jacks and just gradually pumped it up and blocked it up until we could put proper stumps under there. You know, we dropped out the ceilings. That was 100 years worth of dust and rat poo and horsehair ceilings that had rope all through them, and they were wound around the beams. So we now have exposed beams. So when we dropped the ceilings, I was up the ladder with the hand sander and just sanded and sanded all that plaster off and pulled off all the rope and everything. It was a big job, but it's a great building. And we've got a little house on the back, and the house has ended up being really lovely.
And your gallery, where did that start?
Once we did one room in the building, we made the shop, and then we gradually went through. And so there's two rooms now that I use for gallery space for just my fine artworks. And we've also got a packing room, which we need for the wholesale. And my husband does picture framing, which is very convenient when you're an artist.
Yes.
The business just operates with a few different things going on. We have a few different staff. So we've got one lady who's fantastic. She's so organised, it's frightening. She comes in on a Friday and she does a lot of our orders and helps with the distribution. We've got young ones that come in on the weekends, and so we've been training all of them to do picture framing. So when they leave, you know, at the end of year 12, basically, they can go to Perth and rock up to a picture framer and say, you know, I can work here, I'm skilled. So yeah, it's really good.
In the 9 years that you've run a business in Nanup, what would you say the major changes are?
So I think when we first got here, the main street has always had a really beautiful vista. It's got the historic buildings, but it's surrounded by and speckled in between this beautiful vertical vista, which are the trees. You know, we're surrounded by forest here. So then the buildings, all of the businesses here are very conscious about creating the streetscape as a really lovely area. So the businesses are well looked after from the main street. And then we have this wonderful shire that have the planter boxes up and down the street. And oh, look, I can't believe the job that the gardeners do with those. They're just full of flowers all the time. So many visitors who come to Nanup, and that's the thing that's changing, because I think that is increasing steadily all the time. They comment on how pretty and how well maintained the little Nanup township is.
Mm, yes, I've heard that a lot. So you say the visitation's changing. Would you say the demographic? Who comes to Nanup?
Yeah, well, we see everybody in the shop. So at different times of the year, I think it changes. We have, obviously, the school holidays, and Nanup is perfect for families for school holidays. For example, I know there are families that come down and just book into the caravan park for the whole 2 weeks, and their kids just ride bikes. So there's trails that are up and down the river. But also across the river, there's a, you know, quite an easy one for younger kids. Then, of course, there's the mountain biking trails, which they love. But then after the school holidays, we definitely see the change in demographic, where some of the older caravanners come through that aren't bound by school holidays. We have people that come in the winter, particularly for the green change and to be in the forest, which is beautiful. Yeah, I think we actually get a really good mix of people.
Mm-hmm. You've probably touched on this a little bit, but I know that you've travelled a lot of wild and remote places, you and Mark together. What is it about Nanup that you think is so special?
Definitely the trees.
The trees.
Definitely the forest. We've got this beautiful mix. So, you know, in one part you might be swampy and it might be the melaleucas and everything that goes with there. And then you'll go into another part of the forest and you're into Marri with a few jarrah, and then you'll see a really good pocket of jarrah. And, of course, you know, when they grow like that, they grow together and they're tall and they're straight. And then the next minute you walk in and, you know, you might just see that single blossom on the ground and look up and go, oh, it's Carrie, and you're into Carrie. So, yeah, it's really, really exciting.
Beautiful. If there's something that you like to do in Nanup in an everyday capacity, what do you enjoy going out and doing in Nanup?
Walking.
Walking.
Yeah.
Tell me about your walks.
Okay. So we did have two dogs, but they were very old and we lost them last year, which was very sad. But now, you know, we just still keep walking. And, of course, now we can go into the areas that are more national park. But from Nanup itself, you know, there's some beautiful walks. We've got a wildflower park and that's really pretty. Just walking up the hills means that you get a good puff up, you know. Yeah, 5 minutes and you're in the bush, out of town.
Amazing. I know your father grew up on a farm in Ludlow, which I think is about 40 minutes now with the Bitumen Road, so not far from here. Did he have tales to tell of Nanup?
Yes, so my dad was a great storyteller. And so is his brother, Uncle Mick. So they both had motorbikes and so they used to come over to Nanup quite regularly. So we're kind of talking about the 1950s. So when we moved here, my dad had actually already passed, but my Uncle Mick used to come out regularly. So he was in his 80s by this stage and he used to say, oh, we used to ride our bikes to Nanup. We used to play up in Nanup. So I think that they used to stay in the boarding house, which was demolished, which was on the spare block that's next door to our building. And Uncle Mick used to say, the boarding house, it wasn't a house of ill repute. It's just that people gave themselves a bad reputation when they were there. So I think, yeah, they were young guys just coming in and running amok, really. But, you know, their farm actually was quite isolated.
Well, yeah, we have touched on the isolation a little bit, but what would you find the challenges are living in a place like Nanup?
Not many for me, actually, because I've always... This is the first time we've lived in town. We've always lived out of town and we've lived in some pretty remote areas other than Albany. So it doesn't bother me that, you know, you're not near a big centre. I mean, it's only 50 k's away, really, anywhere. And I love a small town. We've lived in a small town before and I love the inclusivity of a small town and that you're kind of all in it together. I love the mix of all sorts of different people and all sorts of different personalities. I think that's really wonderful.
What do you think the festivals do for a community like Nanup?
Well, number one, it puts Nanup on the map. The festivals are very well known. People travel from everywhere to come to the music and the garden festivals. And so when they're here, they get to look around and then they come back. The festivals, of course, for us as a business are a really great big cash input. You know, people come and they buy. And for me as an artist, you know, they come and they look at the paintings and, you know, even if they're not going to purchase anything then, they come back. You know, I have people coming into the gallery and they want to see the current body of work. I change it around a bit. I paint basically where and what I'm actually feeling and seeing at the time. So, like at the moment in the front gallery, it's all paintings of the ocean, which is very interesting when I live in Nanup. But from Albany and our daughters in Esperance, and I've just been there. So I've got these ocean paintings. So the second room at the moment has got the landscapes of the river. Yeah, all the wildlife work. I'm always doing wildlife work. I get a lot of commission works as well for wildlife work. People have those fantastic moments all of their own and they connect with some, you know, bird or creature. And so they come in and say, oh, Leanne, can you paint me some magpies, you know? So, yeah.
How beautiful.
Yeah, I love living in Nanup. It's a beautiful little community. It's isolated enough in that we are completely and absolutely our own little identity, I think. And I think Nanup people are very proud that, yeah, we have a different identity, I think, from the other towns.
I can't imagine us growing so substantially that the environment changes that much.
No, I hope if it does grow, though, that we really maintain the feeling of this historical village, which is what the town actually is. And it is a commercial area. I mean, look, we've got a shop and a gallery and there's a coffee shop on our building and everything. And we have signs up and everything, but I think people can still see that the buildings are historic buildings. And I think people coming to visit Nanup see that, recognise that and really love it. So, yeah, long may it last.
Do you have a lot of people showing interest in doing the heritage walk?
Yes, people do it. And they come in and they ask comments about it. But, yeah, people do it.
Talking about things that you've got out the front, you do have an extinct animal.
Other Nanup people will probably have a lot more to say, but so Nanup has been known as a place where there are reportings of thylacines. So there is no actual evidence at this point in time that they are existing here, but there is different indications that perhaps they were in the past, and there are current sightings that are reported. So we'll wait and see on that one. But the thylacines out the front, that's a little trail that's in town and they've been placed around town. I actually drew them up and did quite a lot of research to do that and was just blown away about what an amazing creature they were and, you know, that they have all these unique distinguishing characteristics that make them completely different from every other marsupial animal that we have in Australia, but they are a marsupial. So they have the pouch, their fur was the consistency and feeling like a kangaroo. You know, their ears were a bit rounded, more like a possum's. Their tail was a kangaroo, backward facing pouch, which meant that they dug. You know, so there's quite a lot of characteristics that were amazing. So out the front, I like having it out there. It's just a reminder of our responsibilities for our wildlife that we have as our part of our natural heritage in Australia and that we have to look after and we have to keep.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us, Leanne. It's been such a great time talking with you.
It's a pleasure, Andrea. Thank you.
Yeah, good job. Yay. I love talking with you.
Oh, my God.
You've been listening to the Nanup Oral History Podcast. If you are not a Nanupian, please come and visit our small town. We would love you to come. If you are a Nanupian, please share it with your family and friends. We're really proud of this and we hope you are too. This podcast was made possible through the successful funding by the Department of Community's Age Friendly Community Program, facilitated through the local government's professionals and supported by the Shire of Nanup. We would like to thank all of those who have shared their stories to make this podcast happen. The podcast has been produced by the Shire of Nanup's Economic and Community Development Team and edited by Simple Bend Stories.